Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks for tuning in this morning to listen. We're going to be talking about a passage in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Now, Proverbs is one of what we call the books of the Bible. Now, those of you that are familiar with the scriptures know that the Bible is not just one book. It's not like a novel, but it's more like a library. It's broken down into 66 different specific sections, everything from Genesis to Revelation. And it includes history and law and poetry. It includes prophets, minor and major. It includes the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, and Acts is the history of the early church, and then the letters or epistles to the churches, and finally the book of Revelation, which closes the scripture. So I want you to know that there's so many different subjects, so many different things in the pages of scripture to search out, to find out about, to understand. And that's what a proverb is. It's a short, wise saying, a short, wise saying. And in the beginning chapters of Proverbs, they're more like longish kind of discourses from Solomon to his son. And then once you get to chapter 10, they're very short, just short, wise sayings. That's what Proverbs are. But here is something that I think we need to understand. Now, a lot of times we want to talk about God as a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of forgiveness. And He is all of those things, but we need to understand that there are some things that God hates. There are some things that He finds detestable, that are abhorrent to Him, that His soul hates. And if we want to know God in all of His fullness, then we're going to have to understand some of those things too. Just like in any relationship, there are things that you find out that make the other person happy, that they enjoy, that they love, that, you know, just really help them to enjoy life. But then there's other things that they just can't stand, that annoy them, that irritate them, that tick them off. Well, when we're talking about God, His feelings go a little bit deeper than just some kind of annoyance. And that's what we want to do, because as those of His creation in general, and I'm talking to everyone, whether you acknowledge God or you acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know, regardless of whether you do or not, He still is. And so it's good for you to learn who God is. You know, sometimes people don't even give God a chance. They don't even give themselves an opportunity to learn about God. Well, here's some things that would be good to know, because frankly, as you read through these things, you know, most of us are guilty of at least one or two or more of these particular things in this passage. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be mad at me. I don't want God to be angry at me. I don't want to be practicing something that the Bible clearly tells me God hates. Do you? I mean, that's not very smart. If you are an employee and you work for a company, a manager, a CEO, or whoever it might be, you don't want to do things intentionally that you know are going to make them mad. You don't want to lose your job, right? Well, we need to understand that there's some things that God hates. And so let's look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It starts off by saying, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Now, that's just kind of the way that the proverb writer writes. It's not like there's six things that he hates and one other that's detestable to him. Hates, detestable are similar adjectives, and these seven things that are listed here are things that God both hates and are detestable to him. And so if God finds these things hateful and detestable, then we ought to as well. So there's six things the Lord hates. There are seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, or proud, boastful eyes, other translations say. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, okay, a tongue that tells lies. Hands that shed innocent blood. In other words, they are looking for those who are innocent and destroying them on purpose. A heart that devises wicked schemes, that thinks about it, that comes up with those things. It goes on to say, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Okay, not just kind of, I'm not sure, but quick to rush into evil things. A false witness who pours out lies. Okay, so not only does God hate a lying tongue, but also the false witness who pours out those lies. And a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now, I want you to see here that, isn't this interesting how it uses the different parts of our body? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush in to evil. So he uses those different various parts of the body, and then he kind of just sums up the character of some people. A false witness, someone who pours out lies, a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Okay, this is quite a list. Now, obviously, this list isn't exhaustive. It's not all the things that God hates. You know, sometimes you hear of the seven deadly sins. Well, there's lots of different sins that are listed in the scripture. And frankly, they're all deadly. Even one sin is deadly because the wages of sin is death, not a cumulative amount of sin. One sin is enough to condemn us before a pure and holy God. And the reason that God hates these things is not so much that they're things that are done to him. These all go against his very nature. I mean, because God is truth. He doesn't lie. God gives life. He doesn't take it away. That's the devil. The devil is the murderer and the killer and the destroyer, not God. Okay? God has a heart that wants to bless people, not to dream up wicked, evil schemes against people. Okay, so these things in and of themselves, they don't work against God, but they work against other people whom God has created. Okay, and this is why we should be concerned about these things. God hates them because when we practice these things or do these things, they're normally against another person. And since God loves all people and God wants all people to be saved, he doesn't want people to die. He doesn't want people to be condemned. He doesn't want people doing things that he hates. He wants people to do those things that he loves. Because when we do those things that God loves, then we're going to be blessing other people and including ourselves when we will do the will of God in your life. Now, maybe you're not convinced about all of these things yet, but I hope as we continue to talk about these things that you'll understand why God hates these things. All right, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song called That's Why God Made the Moon. And God made all things for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, for our life. And even the moon has a part to play in that. So this is a little bit longer song. It has kind of a nice little instrumental lead in. And so let's listen to this before we really start tackling these things. Because remember, God isn't just a God who hates and finds things detestable. God is also a God of love and mercy and justice and all of the other amazing qualities of who he is. So let's listen to this song by John Elefante called That's Why God Made the Moon.
Why God made the moon.
Okay, we're back this morning, and let's just jump right into this list of things in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 that we've already begun talking about. And let's remember as we do this that these are things that God hates. God hates these things. That's a very strong verb, isn't it? It's not that he just dislikes them. It says that he hates them. Okay, very strong verb there. And then seven things that are detestable, that are disgusting, if you would, or abhorrent, or gross, or you could just come up with lots of adjectives that fit that same thing. But God finds these things disgusting, abhorrent, detestable to him. And so the very first one that has to do with the eyes, quote unquote, God hates haughty eyes. What does haughty mean? Haughty is proud, boastful. Okay, it kind of looks on everything like they're the master, that they're in charge, that they're in control. Haughty eyes. You know, I can't help but think about over in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Now, to me, that's kind of the epitome of what haughty eyes are. That here's a person that's confident of their own righteousness, and yet they're looking down on everybody else because they think they're better than someone else. Jesus told this parable, and listen to the arrogance. Listen to the haughtiness here in this parable. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. I mean, that is just arrogant and boastful. And friends, we're not to boast about our own intelligence. We're not to boast about our own strength. We're not to boast about our own riches. We're not to boast about ourselves at all. In fact, the proverb says, don't boast about yourself. Let another man praise you. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth. Okay, boasting, arrogance, pride, those are all things that doesn't help anybody else around you. All it does is make somebody else around you want to puke. All right, so we don't want to be haughty people. And here's the thing about it. What do we have that we weren't given? I mean, really, ultimately, God is the one who gave us our life. God is the one that gave us the ability to live and think and move and breathe and all the things that he did. God is ultimately the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. What do we have to boast about? And so when it says that God hates haughty eyes, there's a reason for it. And especially when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in that parable, the Pharisee who looked down on everybody else, who is confident of his own righteousness because probably he thought himself a descendant of Abraham and that he had the sign of circumcision and that he had the law of Moses that God had given Israel. He probably thought that because he had all that, he was in good shape and everything was fine. But what arrogance, thinking that way. And you know what? That man was just as guilty of sin as that tax collector. As guilty as everybody else that's ever lived. You see, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And instead of God getting proud and arrogant and, I don't want to associate with my creation anymore, instead, he chose to love us. And ultimately, he chose to humble himself. Okay? This is what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, God himself humbled himself. And so who are we to get proud and arrogant and haughty and think more highly of ourselves than we ought? In fact, the Bible tells us that God humbles the proud. God humbles the proud. He has ways of saying, oh yeah, you think you're so great. You think you're so smart. You think you're so rich. You think you're so strong. God has ways of humbling us and making us recognize that, wow, without him, we're nothing. Okay? And especially when we recognize how sinful we have been in the past, when we recognize the error of our ways and the very fact that we may be practicing some of the things that God hates, and yet God humbled himself and was willing to come down and be a part of us as a part of his own creation. He became flesh. He went to the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross, so we could live. Okay, in light of what Jesus did, can you see why God hates pride? Do you see why God hates arrogance? Do you see why the Proverbs say pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? Okay, that's why God hates it, because he knows that ultimately it destroys us. And he's not interested in destroying us. He's interested in saving us. He's interested in us coming to our senses. That's why not only here in the Proverbs, but in so many other places, he points out our sin. He puts like a spotlight on it so that we can understand that we are lost, that we're condemned, that without his grace, without his mercy, we're in big trouble. And it should also prompt us to say, I don't want to practice that anymore in my life as far as it depends on me. So will you accept this call to action? Will you repent of your pride and arrogance? Will you get rid of the haughty eyes and the boastful spirit? God loves you. God died for you. And we need to remember that no one's ever died for us before. Jesus did that for us, and how wonderful it is. Let's listen to our last song by John Elefante called No One Ever Died For Me Before.
Kneeling in the darkness, trying hard to pray, but the words don't come out easy. It's been a long and trying day. I'm reaching out my heart to you. I'm reaching out my hand. And I ask you, Lord, reveal to me what I don't understand. Why the world that you created would turn its back on you, and the children that you love would run away. In a land of broken promises, you are my only friend. So take this heart.
Look into my father's eyes. No one's ever cried for me before.
right, we're almost through this morning, but I sure hope you appreciate what Jesus has done for you. We're going to continue this series in Proverbs chapter 6 next week, and so please tune back in again. Until that time, we'd love to invite you to come and worship with us. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study and a time of prayer. We really want to encourage you to come and be with us. We'd love to get to meet you. We'd love to share the Lord with you. We'd love to share the scripture with you. We also know that people have lots of questions and lots of concerns about life and everything else. And we want to let you know, just like someone let us know, how wonderful the Word of God is. It brings us all together. And it helps us to understand that we all need a Savior. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so there's nobody better than anybody else as far as that's concerned. Different people may do better things or greater things, but you know, as far as being a human being, we need God's grace, all of us. And we all need to strive to understand what God hates and what's detestable to God so that instead we can do His will. We can do the things that please Him and honor Him. So thanks again for listening. And until we meet again next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God. You are God.